verse 18 again. But God is true, our word towards you was not yea and no, or nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus, and Timothy, was Silas, and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in me, in him, was yea. For all the promises of God in him, yea, in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us, God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So we looked at all those phrases earlier on. We said that the critical fact is that it summarized the fulfillment of God's commitment to that giving of the Spirit. So we can say, therefore, that all of God's working in the church are in the Spirit or by the Spirit. All of God's workings in the church are in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And primarily, the first work and the primary major work of the Spirit is the new birth, which we call the Spirit within, where within we recognize our sonship, John 14:16-17, Romans 8:14-16, the Spirit within, 1 John 2:20, you know all things, 1 John 2:27, teaches you of all things, the new birth. And we trace that to the Ezekiel prophecy, Ezekiel 36:26-27, that's the Spirit within. That's the fulfillment of that promise. So every walking of God is from the Spirit. Because we have said that the Father is resident within. So ministry is from the new birth. It's not different from the new birth. It's from the new birth. Now, a critical question we probably will have to answer is that knowing that the faculty of the ministry is in the new birth, are believers therefore born again differently? No. You are losing, you have been losing one term, and that is, okay, we'll see that shortly, the working of the Spirit. There's the working of the Spirit, and that's not the gifts of the Spirit. So, when people say that everything is finished, everything is done, I think they're a little bit too fast. Because there are things, you know, I remember in the earlier years we had this phrase that we used to say, just because we wanted to be a bit different from others, not just that, it was worse than that. And then you say, the word does not work. The word has worked. Now, I still teach that, but I teach it within a particular context. The word doesn't work. The word has worked. Because some folks used to say, now, initially, we used to say, chair of brethren, you just, after you finish fellowship there, you say, look at your neighbor, say, chair of brethren, the word works. And we say that. I even added one to mine then. I think, okay, yep. Okay, let me give you the three. You had one, you say, keep the fire burning, stay on top. I removed stay on top in 95. You know, keep the fire burning, the word works. By late 96, we threw away word works. The word has worked. It's done. You know, everything is done. Now what we have is the past tense of the word. Just being funny. But the truth is that the word works. Hallelujah. There is what has been worked, and there is what is working. You can't take that away. If somebody gets healed today, it's not because he was healed 2,000 years ago. He was not sick 2,000 years ago. He was sick last night. Okay? Don't say, you have been sick. If a man cannot be healed, for a man to have been healed 2,000 years ago, that means he was sick 2,000 years ago. I was sick 2,000 years ago. Now I'm healed 2,000 years ago. I now receive my sickness and my healing. You know, it goes as illogical. If you want to understand that very well, get the teaching, Healing and Material Prosperity and Redemption, where we explained Isaiah 53 very well. Isaiah 53 definitely was not talking about physical healing, as some have preached it. There's physical healing, our rights and privilege in Christ, use of the name of Jesus, the gifts of healing, and all that. That's in the epistles. But definitely, to say that Jesus took your sickness 2,000 years ago is a bit too far. That's a distance to now. 2,000 years to be sick and be healed is quite far. So let's just stick with you were healed last night and this morning. That's biblical. Amen. You won't find anywhere in the epistles where it says, or in the book of Acts, and he laid his hands on him and he confirmed that he had been healed. You know, and they were healed. Hallelujah. Paul said to Timothy, he said, take no longer water only for the infirmity that. What I offer. That means he's very consistent. He said, Trophimus, I left in Miletus, who had been healed, but now he's sick. It is Epaphroditus, who had been healed 2,000 years ago, but somehow he found the sickness this year. Oh, that was not 2,000 years ago then. That was even recent. You know, some things are just for clarity, okay? Not to mock those who say it. I used to too. And so sometimes when I laugh like that, I laugh at myself first. I wonder, how did you think like that, you know? One key thing about Bible study is the ability to think. My friend said those days, he said there's something that he believes that, this is how he used to say it. I don't see it theologically, but it just made sense. That he believes that that passage of the life of God through your mind, finally to your heart, that it left something there. Just that transit to be able to think well. That henceforth you reason properly. So he used to call it a sanctified mind. But like I said, there's no theology to it. Don't bother your head. You know. Where were we? Okay, the word works. Okay, that to say that, just like saying we are all the same in Christ. That's not true. We are all sons of God in Christ. Same Lord, same Father, same body, right? Same Spirit, same baptism. That is, don't say, well, my salvation is different. It's the same. However, we have all received a gift according to the measure, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So there's a distinction there. So there's a distinction in the working of the Spirit for ministry. We're going to look at a general application and then specific application. So, now, again, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus said to everybody that he will send the promise of the Father. And then 120 people spoke with tongues. But 12 actually were the ones who stood up to speak at that point. You know, 12. That's Peter and all the other apostles. And that continued till the other ministry gifts were now developed and discovered. So there's a working of the Spirit within every believer, okay, that now specifies his function. There's a working of the Spirit in every believer that now specifies your function. We'll see that. Look at that 1 Corinthians 12 one more time. Verse 1. Now concerning the things of the Spirit. Now where is the Spirit? Within, because he has said that first encounter. Notice something there. He said, "My speech and my preaching," in verse 4, "not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the apodexis, the flashing forth, that is, of the Spirit, which is power." That is, words are the tools of the Spirit. The flashing forth of power, that your faith verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Then in verse 10, having said that I had not seen, he had not heard, it has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He's talking about preaching there. He has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Then in verse 12, say, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Chapter 3, verse 16, say, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that his Spirit dwells in you. Verse 11 says, you are sanctified and justified by the Spirit of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 17 says, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, if I said all that to you, just like we said, you should never disconnect words. Jesus had been saying, he would dwell in you. He would dwell in you. By the time you now see the Spirit upon you, don't think it's another person he's talking about. He's referring to the same. So, he's not expecting you to look at the sky. So, by the time Paul is saying now, in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, now concerning these, now not these things of the Spirit, he opens up a subject matter, which is the word peri. Now concerning peris post pneumaticos. That is, now I'm specifying these ones. He has spoken about being born again by the Spirit. He has spoken about communication by the Spirit. He has spoken about you being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, he's narrowing down to a specific subject matter. Are you following what I'm saying here? He's not expecting you to look outside. Things of the Spirit. I will not have you ignorant. Again, where is the Spirit? So we have the Spirit. We have the new birth from the Spirit, okay? Sonship by the Spirit, salvation by the Spirit, baptized in the body of Christ by the Spirit. We also have things of the Spirit, or specific things of the Spirit. I will not have you ignorant. So verse 4, now, pay attention, there are diversities. Some say diversities. Very good. So, he opens up by saying there are things, diversities of gifts. Of course, I said to you that the word gift, charisma, doesn't really have plural. The plural is based on context. Because the moment you use diversities, you can't say gifts. So the translators were right into the English language. They threw it into plural. Because by using diaresis, now look at what diaresis. Diaresis is D-I-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. I used to skip that I. D-I-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. It's a very key stuff there. Because you use it three times consecutively. Two times consecutively. So, diaresis is a very key thing. Diaresis is from a word, diario, D-I-A-I-R-E-O, D-I-A-I-R-E-O. Let's see how it is used. Luke 15:12. The parable of the prodigal son. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Remember, he's talking about the father, just one person, what he owns. The portion. Then he divided them, he divided unto him his living. He divided it. The same thing. He now said, I'm taking out of this. That's diarrheal. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All this worketh that one and self same Spirit dividing to every man. Dividing. A key word here, because I'm using the word diarrhea now, there are two words, D-I-A. When he die, it means to across. That is the singular thing. You go across it. It can be four, five ways, but across it. D-I-A. Now the key, the other word is the word hiereo. H-A-I-R-E-O. H-A-I-R-E-O. H-A-I-R-E-O, which is the other part of that diarrhea, is for choice, preference. Preference. You find it in Philippians 1:22, choice. I choose, I what not. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Chosen you to salvation. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, what is critical here? Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Diversities will mean something God did himself. So, you don't have a say in that diversity. That is something God has already done. You don't say, well, I am a prophetic teacher. You know those things people say? I am a helper of destiny. I'm a bridge in the church. No. He says that diversity was done by God. So if something was done by someone, your own is to find out. So you don't divide the gifts. You receive them divided. The same Spirit. The same Spirit within. But diversities of gifts. Diversities of charisma. Verse 5. The same Lord. Verse 6. The same God. So let's go to 5. Diversities of ministries. Now, every time you use the word ministry, listen to this very well. There must be what is being ministered. You must look for it. So, the word ministry is the word diakonia, D-I-A, K-O-N-I-A. We're going to run through its use. It's a bit much. So, first of all, I don't have a say in the gifts. I don't have a say in the ministries. That's why verse 6 says, it is God that worketh all. All this worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, a key factor in the Spirit upon, don't forget our terminology, is that it's yours to discover. You must not get creative or innovative. It is just yours to discover. Now, watch this. Let's look at that use of the word ministry. Acts 1:17. I would take out the four gospels. Acts 1:17. Please pay very good. I want you to notice something. Acts 1:17. This is about Judas now. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. He obtained part of this ministry. Now, notice what he obtained. Verse 21. Covering with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, the day he was taken up from us, was one ordained to be a witness of resurrection. So, that means It was ordained for that purpose. Pay attention. But he did not fulfill it. So, there is a volition to ministry. It was ordained. Judas was ordained to be a witness of the resurrection. He never witnessed it. He fell short. Now, notice something here. Verse 25. Now, they now chose somebody that he may take part of this ministry, and then they called it apostleship. For which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he may go to his own place. Now, listen carefully to something here. These folks, by the virtue of what Jesus did to them, they had the latitude to choose someone. That's why you will see nobody obtains a ministry outside these 12. Not even Paul. Everybody had to be validated by them. So, you don't go outside what they have said. Even Paul. Jesus was validated by John. Now, notice this. Of this apostleship. That is what he called the ministry. And we see it's specific. He calls it a bishopric in verse 20. Let another take. That's the basis of why they changed his space. Let another take. So, you may lose, you can't lose salvation as a birth. But you can lose ministry. Because ministry is stewardship. You are not a steward of salvation. You can lose ministry. You know, you don't fulfill salvation. But you will see in Colossians 4:17, say to Archippus that the ministry of the Lord that you fulfill it. So losing it doesn't mean God took it from you. Are you following what I'm saying? You can abandon it. It can be abandoned. It can be misused. Why? Because you are a steward. It's charisma. You are a steward. So those who quote Romans 11:29 for ministry, Romans 11:29 was about Israel. It wasn't talking about salvation. You know, as well as salvation is a gift of God, okay, as well. But ministry, the gifts have been given. But the ministry can be lost. Not the spirit, but the ministry can be lost. Now, and the losing I mean is that you are not fulfilling it. So let's be careful of using absolute terms sometimes. Look at Acts 11:29. They sent relief to Jerusalem in 29. See what it was called in Acts 12:25. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled ministry. Ministry there means they went to serve. They took food from Asia, in this instance, Antioch. They took it to Jerusalem. So when you see ministry, it's not a word always for spiritual things. They took something from they took from Antioch to serve Jerusalem. It wasn't spiritual. However, what Judas was to do, was it spiritual? Huh? What Paul and Barnabas did, was it spiritual? You can say spiritual in the sense of, well, it was love. But what they were carrying was not spiritual. Are you following what I'm saying here? Uh-huh. So, always look at the word ministry of what? Acts 20:24. And none of these things move me, neither counsel my life unto thee, so that I might what? Acts 20:24. I might what? Finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the grace, gospel of the grace of God. Did he receive what he was doing in Acts 12? Did he receive that from the Lord? That's not what he said. He received that one from Antioch to Jerusalem. This one is from the Lord Jesus. Are you following this? Acts 21:19. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly the things that God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. What God did among the Gentiles. Salvation. Romans 11:13. I magnify my office. The word office there is I magnify my ministry. He was talking about the preaching of the gospel, verse 13. Romans 12:7. On ministry, ministry. What is he talking about? Verse 6. Having then charisma, differing according to the grace that is given to us. So, a believer must locate the grace given to him. So we have charisma according to that grace. Again, it's supernatural. Now look at Romans 15:31. That I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, that's the word ministry, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Diaconia. So far, what can we zero ministry to be? The gospel. Right? Come on, church. Is that the gospel? Okay. Also, the ministering of the gifts of God. Right? Okay. So look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5. We're there. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Now look at Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know that the house of Stephanas, the first fruit of Achaia, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourself unto such and to everyone that helps us and laboreth. Natural or spiritual? Huh? Huh? That is just, I don't know whether it's me or not. What did you call it? Natural. Why? Why? Why do you say it's natural? Submit yourself unto such. Unto who? Unto their offering. Or the bananas they brought. To everyone that helps us and labors. I'm glad that coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicius, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours with money. Therefore, acknowledge them that are such. Spiritual or natural? Eh? Did you say supernatural or natural? I'm hearing natural, but I don't. Eh? If it's natural, let me see your hand. It's natural. Why? Eh? The what? Help. The word help. So anytime you see the word help. I'm here. Let's read it. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Submit yourselves to them. To what? The pineapples they gave you. And to everyone who helps with us and labors. So is labor. What labor? Labor. They are laboring to give you Indomie. He says they have supplied that which was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such.
So which of the natural? Super or just natural?
2 Corinthians 3:7. Okay, let's start from 6. Who had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter but of the Spirit, but letter came of the Spirit gives life. Verse 7. If you quote this scripture, you don't preach the gospel. You're just joking. If the ministration of death be glorious, then it says in verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? The ministration of the Spirit. Look at verse 9. Same thing. We read 7, 8, and 9. Okay, the ministration of righteousness. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Let's say 4, verse 1 together. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
So, supernatural or natural?
Huh? Very good. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Is that the ministry of the Spirit? Righteousness? Huh? Come on. Very good. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You know what the ministry is, right? Good. Now, it's going to define now. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4. Praying us with such entreaty that we should receive the gifts and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Obviously, this is natural. This is natural gifts because he said what it was. The giving in verse 2 and verse 3. So there's a material shift there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. As touching ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you. That's giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 12. Administration of this service. Natural. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. No, 11, 13. Sorry for that. For such are apostles, deceitful workers or ministers. Then verse 15. Therefore it is no great thing if the ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay? Natural, right? Is that natural? Is that natural? Look at verse 8. For when I was, verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. That's natural. So, wherever you see it, always know what is it said in context. The ministering of natural gifts, which is love, where believers give natural gifts to one another, where you help people who are poor, who are in need. You know, and that is taught in all scripture. But that is not the ministry gift. Is that very clear? That's not the ministry gift. That is not, he gave gifts unto men. No. That's not, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. He had told you in context, there are gifts and there are ministry of the gifts. Ministries of the gifts. So when you see ministry, always zero down to what he's talking about. 2 Timothy 4. This ministering to the saints, is it specific or all believers do this one? The natural one. Huh? So there can be diversity of that one. Who's following what I'm saying here? Is it clear? That's not diversity. That's just one ministering to the saints. Look at this. Ephesians 4. I'll start from 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Natural or supernatural? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Thank you. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplies. That's the ministry. Every joint supplies. Colossians 4:17. Say to Archippus, take heed to the indomie you are supposed to have delivered. No. to the ministry. Why do I always say Indomie? I don't know. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Natural or spiritual? Very good. So, when it is specific, it cannot be natural things. Let me see your hand now. You get it? So, you can't say, I have a ministry of charity. The Lord rose from the dead. Then when he gave you your own ministry gift, it should be distributed in Indomie. Sorry. Coke. You are in delusions of grandeur. Colossians 4, 7. Okay, good. We've read that. 1 Timothy 4. So from 1 Timothy 1, 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So whenever we read the word the ministry, it's specifically talking about what? The ministry of the gospel. Is that right? Is that right? The other one will be specified. You will see it. Ministering to the saints. You see contextually. Ministering to the needs of the saints, which is also, you know, our love work. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Watch thou into all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with me, for he is profitable to me for ministry after many years. Mark. You know, Mark moved around a lot. He was with Barnabas. He joined Paul. He was Barnabas' nephew. He moved with Barnabas. Somebody argued that why he was scared was the way Paul handled Elymas. So he didn't follow Paul and all that. So he probably thought that Paul could also handle him that way. So he could just follow Barnabas quickly. But you observe that, you know, in that Acts 15 scenario, I know some people, but somebody has even written an article accusing me of taking sides with Paul. Well, I have to. That, why would I say Paul was right in Acts 15? I think it's just logical now. That it was Barnabas that decided to pick Mark. That the church commended Silas. Obviously, Paul took a decision with the church. Barnabas took a solitary decision. And that's it. And Paul gave a reason. He said, this guy, he escapes through the back door. There's some guys like that, you won't see them. You won't see them. When things are tough, they escape. But they show up on Sunday service. And they don't even show up for the first 30 minutes. And they will show up to say, let's just thank God for the prayer. Which prayer? Did you pray? There's a brother like that. You know. In the book of life, that's their name. Escapists. Do you know that Peter called John Mark, Marcus, his son? Some guy argues, he's not him. He's him. He's the one. He's everybody's son. Eventually, Paul, now they bring him, he's profitable. He has moved around all world preachers. Some guys are very funny. The minute they see Christocentric, or somebody speaking, Christ died once and for all. They are saved once and for all. They go and look for the person's website. They're like that. They just jump around. Let's say fly. It's just curiosity. One day, there's one guy who posted somebody's work. I said, do you know this person very well? He said, no, but I saw that he's Christocentric. He just said all those nice words. Christocentric is the word. He was full of grace. I said, come here. The guy you are quoting, he believes in total depravity. You know what that is? He said, he doesn't know. I'll tell you more. Unconditional election. He said, he doesn't know that. You won't know. Because your brain and your keypad are together. Limited atonement. Irresistible grace. And the worst of it, perseverance of the faith. He said, what's all that? I said, find out from your new teacher. When he's done with you,
you will return your salvation to Jesus. You know, tulip is a fruit. When you eat it, you die spiritually. It's a heresy. So, he didn't know. John Mark. Anyway, it's profitable to me for ministry. Is he for sending him on errand to give our body? That's to be the ministry of the world. So that means there are some brethren that are not profitable. They are profitable for ministry. Because they are always running. Some brethren like to share. Study group assignment, they won't do it. Evangelism, but come and say, you will share in fellowship meeting on Tuesday. Ah, thank you, sir. I'm grateful. And they start ironing their suit. Ah! They won't sleep overnight. The first time they forced me to preach publicly, I could not sleep. I had preached in that 15 minutes. I had preached it like 10 times before they called me. I'll say it like this. I'll say it like this. I'll say it like this. First minute, I'll do this. Second minute, third minute, fourth minute. When I got to the pulpit, everything escaped. I don't know. Everything will just go. All the joker texts you want to use, the scripture just bring out. You will just find them again. There was one guy. He used to like to talk about what? So I took him to another round meeting. As he entered, everybody was wearing white. The Holy Ghost left him. His boldness escaped. I was laughing. You say you had that. Come. He's not quoting Greek. I said, come, follow me. He just got there. I said, he should need prayer. He was just looking. Where is he? All white. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Amen. He now saw how I ministered it, how I reached out to all of them. God people doing, God people healed. I said, Pastor. I said, it's called He gave gifts. It's not struggle for me. Is it true? It's not struggle. Paul says, each man should abide. Not spirit within alone. Spirit upon. So don't let anybody fool you. That we all yield. We yield into these things. Which things? Oh yeah, yield. I'll take you somewhere. I'll ask you to yield. Yield now! You have a yield. You will yield out. Hallelujah. Okay, we get John Mark. It's now profitable for ministry. So let's go back to that 1 Corinthians 12 when we wrap up from there. Verse 5. Now there are diversities of administrations. That word there is diakonia. But the same Lord. Okay? So, the gifts are with every believer. Okay? But the ministering of the gifts differ with believers. Where do we locate this ministry? Is among saints. So the local church is where we discover the ministry of the gifts. If you observe very well, the Spirit upon in the book of Acts was always in the congregation of believers. Paul, Ananias, the 12, of course Ephesus, and we even said Jesus and John the Baptist. There's always a congregation in place. In fact, if we can by extension add that the 12 were there when, allow me to use this term, the Spirit was upon Jesus. So it's found in the assembly of the saints. If you listen to the series, we are done some almost 8 years now. By next year, it's 8 years. on concerning gifts of God, we said ministry gift is located in the local church. So look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Look at the key word. God has set. Don't say set. Very good. God sets ministry gifts in the church. And look at the parable, the example Paul used. He used the physical body. That every part of the body is arranged on. You don't arrange it. It's done. Verse 18. God has set the members, every one of them in the body. He's not talking about weak believers, strong believers. Just use the parable of the physical body. That is the same way he has set this in the body of Christ. They said, firstly, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. First, second, third. He stopped there. So, the ministry, pay attention here. Paul zeroes in the ministry to three. The apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. Firstly, proton. Secondly, after this. And that's the order with which it was discovered. First, apostle. Secondly, the teachers. Now, it is after that. In other words, he has left ministry gifts now. After that, he now mentions, now I think you can listen to this series on this, it is prayed by the Spirit and concerning gifts of God on this. Miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, which is just one phrase for interpretation of tongues. Helps, governments, diversities of gifts. Then verse 29 now says, all apostles, the word are is italicized. All apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, all gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. He's talking about gifts. He's not talking about, do all be believers speak in tongues? No. Is every gift for working of miracles? No. Is every gift for speaking with tongues? No. Is every gift for interpreting tongues? No. Is every gift apostle? No. Is every gift? No. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, do all believers speak with tongues? That's not what he's saying. Now, listen carefully to this. Notice that in teaching the things of the Spirit, which we can call, for this purpose of this teaching, the Spirit upon. Notice that the utterance is always primary. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses of me. And what was primary in the book of Acts was utterance. What we can call the utterance gifts. That's tongues, the general tongues, and prophecy. That was very unique. And it was like the focus of the book of Acts. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the utterance gift plays a major role in believers and their discovery of the Spirit upon, or better still, the ministry gift. Look at Acts 6. You discover that something unique happened to Peter and the apostles upon the utterance gifts. It became bolder. It became clearer in its presentation of the gospel. Therefore, we submit that the observation E.W. Kenyon made, and of course T.L. Osborne. You know, T.L. Osborne is a pro-Kenyon man. He's a Kenyon man to the core. The observation they made, that they believe, and Riyad Bonke, of course, who else, will also agree to this. They believe that the Acts 2:3, cloven tongues as of fire, was actually that urgency and fervency to preach the gospel. I submit almost 90%. That it was a visible presentation of how the gospel should go to the world. In fact, Riyad Bonke says that so fervently. And of course, T.L. Osborne, who influenced him, and definitely E.W. Kenyon. You hear John G. Lake also will say things. John G. Lake was also taught by Kenyon. And this other person,
Maria would eat her. They were all Kenyan disciples. Okay? They all believed that the essence for what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the essence for the fullness of the Spirit, is actually to reach the lost. Now, when I say I agree 90%, it's not that I disagree at all. It's just like, it's true. But it also believers receive to reach the lost eventually. But their observation is very, very, very important. That it was symbolic of the preaching of the gospel. And you will see that. So the utterance gift had a role to play in how effectively they function. Look at something. Look at that Acts 6. When they were going to pick a deacon, they said, look among you, 7 men, Acts 6:3, full of the Holy Ghost. Obviously, full of the Holy Ghost is a man given to utterance gifts. That is, it's an arena of discovering ministry gifts. Full of the Holy Ghost. The apostles, full of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:4. Peter, being filled with the Spirit. Acts 4:8. Notice again, Acts 4:31. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. That is, upon being filled with the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, they now were able to speak God's word much more fluently. How many of you have noticed that experientially? That after a Holy Ghost meeting or a time given to tongues and interpretation, you just seem to be more bolder in preaching the gospel. Like, you are just scared to do more ministry work. Who has observed that? You are just scared for more ministry. That's why when people are doing Holy Ghost business today, and all they are rejoicing over is somebody got a contract. Say, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. In our last Holy Ghost meeting, Bro Ponle, he was looking for a job. Praise the Lord. He is now an employer of labor. Hallelujah. No, that's an evangelistic meeting. Or a healing service. Or a service. But you see, Stephen was full of the Spirit. Utterance gifts. Now, notice something else he was called. There was something he was called. Let's go to Acts 6. I guess I should just go back there. Acts 6. He now said in verse 5, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. They picked his own out specially. No wonder he was the first one among them who stepped out. The next thing we saw in verse 8 was that he did wonders and miracles. He did wonders and miracles. So Jesus knew and expected that upon that spirit upon, which is for ministry, which primarily in the book of Acts, will be utterance gifts. It will lead into other things. That's why great teachers like Kenneth Hagin will tell you that the utterance gifts are the doorway to supernatural. You can observe it from the book of Acts. That's why you find out that all the apostles, I'm going to just zero down to Peter now and Paul, they focused on the utterance gifts. Notice, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. 1 Peter 4:11. Paul focused on that. He focused on that. They saw about the utterance gifts and ministry. That you see, it flows in pattern. Notice again, the next person we saw who was given to ministry after Stephen was Philip, a man again full of the Holy Ghost. He knew to go to Samaria and preach Christ. And what did we see after verse 6? He did mighty wonders and miracles. The utterance gifts is like an inspiration. Now, look at the Acts 19 group 2. The Holy Ghost came on them. And they prophesied. We don't hear anything about them until Acts 20, when Paul now calls them, in verse 17, the elders of the church. Acts 20, 17. Acts 20, 28. Whom the Holy Ghost has made you, with the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So, the utterance gifts, that's why it is the primary thing taught in the church. It builds believers, and it makes believers build other believers. So the utterance gift is a pro-ministry gift, demonstration of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'll run now. Verse 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more earnest gift. Now, what is the best gift? Now, the word best here is the word megas. M-E-G-A-S. Now, the word megas here was used again by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater, that's the word best again, greater, megas, is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret and the church will receive edification. So, the word megas there means to be to go a wider application. It appears, and I'll close here, that the utterance gift have such a wider application. By the time Paul explained it, for example, he says in verse 24, if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is near of the truth. He has revelation to it. Revelation gifts. So he says, when you come together, everybody has a tongue, a doctrine, a sound, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done as they define. Then in 27, he now says, if any speak. So that means the revelation and the sound will, and the doctrine will come from tongues and what? Interpretation. It doesn't mention prophesying in verse 26. Because everything he said there will be on the platform of prophesying. So, the utterance gifts should be a major forte of the church. That's why you discover that in many instances, when the power gifts, that healing, working of miracles and gifts of faith, are majored by any ministry, their members hardly getting on it. But watch when utterance gifts are taught very well. Of course, the power gifts are also taught, but these are taught very well. It seems easier for church members to get in on the power gifts. Because whether you like it or not, the power gifts are gifts of the senses. They are for the senses. They work in the natural. Working of miracles, healing, and gift of faith. They work with natural incidences. So if you are going to classify them, which I don't want you to do anyway, you should put the utterance gifts first, then the revelation gifts, then the power gifts. It's in that order that they work in the church. The utterance gifts work primarily in the church, then the revelation gifts, then the power gifts. So it is of necessity that the local church should be a place where the utterance gifts are taught and demonstrated very well. And given a primary place. Peter gave it a primary place. Jesus did. Notice that it was only once that he said, you lay hands on sick, they shall recover. He said that. This is for them that believe. But he repeatedly talked about the utterance gifts. Repeatedly. Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8, Acts 1:5. There was a stronger emphasis along that area. And notice again that Peter's references to Jesus and what happened to Gentiles was again on the utterance gate. Acts 11:17. Not trying to play one over the other, but the local church where ministry gifts are discovered is a place where the utterance and definitely the revelation gifts should be given utmost preeminence. That's why Paul says, desire things of the Spirit, but much more that you prophesy. Amen. I said amen. So, prophecy is wider. It has a wider application. When you hear the greater gifts, the wider application, there will be tongues for interpretation and prophesying, which also carry with it revelation. Sign of spirits, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom. So, there is much more that that will do to make believers to receive the ministry gifts than any other one will. Amen.